WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
That's a man.
Well, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
You know me to be a very smart man. Don't you think if I were wrong, I'd know it?
Omega.
Excuse me, Wolverine Origin, miniseries issue 2, page 22, retractable bone claws. If people spent less time thinking about sex and more time concentrating on comic books, we'd have far fewer of these embarrassing moments.
Mace.
Hey, my Snow White American friend. Let's put some cow meat on the barbecue and eat it until we're all obese.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Really? I would point out that I am at the top of my profession while you preside over the kiddie table of yours.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby. And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where our producer seems to think I would spend all my time complaining about Wolverine's bone claws and not goddamn Sheldon. We have to pre-approve these things from now on. Anyway, this is the Omega, the be-all end all of our little network here. Joining me tonight, Mace.
Yeah. These things need to be pre-approved, because unless you actually saw the episode, you wouldn't realize that was Raj doing an American accent and failing at it.
Hmm.
Yeah. We are not amused.
We put Edge in the intro, though. That was good. Like that.
Mind you, Rock had to put himself over everybody else.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I can start to see a little bit of ego shine through in there now. Don't you, Tim Stein?
Well, I was wondering if and when you would ever get to meet Omega. I do have to admit sometimes I worry about this Joe producer that calls himself Sir Rockin'. For some reason, he seems to have an inferiority complex. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Right.
Well, he really works really hard at trying to make himself appear so much better than everybody else. I mean, he just should go with the status quo and let everybody else, you know, praise him or not, as the case may be, depending on how they feel, instead of, you know, sucking up for attention and trying to explain to people that he's so good. He's the internet radio god, Sir Rockin' on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I mean, Jesus, you know, it's like the guy that brags about getting laid five times a day. You know he's still a virgin.
Yeah, that or his dick looks like
Omega, stop playing with your dice.
Yeah, Omega, are you playing with dice?
No.
You were, weren't you?
No, actually. That's a paint marker.
Oh, okay, I thought for a second you were playing Dungeons and Dragons or something.
In the middle of the show, what do you think this is, Otaku Talk Live?
Not going to say a damn word. Won't say a damn thing. Well, officially, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Glad that you could all join us. We're all going Howard Stern on you for tonight and posing important questions, such as, do you like a woman shaved with a landing strip or as natural as a Vietnam forest?
Classy.
I made a bet with Brock that Mace would probably pick one where you would probably do everything you could to ignore that question.
I'm wondering why we don't have Lindsay on for Howard Stern night.
Well, you know, it was Lindsay I had in mind, because I was thinking when that first popped into my head, it would be good if we could ask Lindsay that question just to see what kind of a reaction we could get.
Well, we might be able to ask her later on in the night, depending on how long people are willing to stick around for.
Well, wait, what's happening?
Because, well, for those people who decided to tune into the Rack last Thursday night, after the show went off the air, you would have noticed that the stream popped back on a couple of minutes later with WWE 13 on the screen as I was playing through the Attitude Era mode, which I'm planning to continue tonight.
And you're going to be doing that on the stream.
Indeed.
Indubitably.
Now, yes, you might not have the best sound quality, but at least you can see the shit.
Okay, does that have like an online mode where you could actually play people from around the world who have all of these cheat codes up the ass in their system so they do everything they can to, you know, play unfairly?
Pretty much.
Well, Tim, if they want to do that, they just play as Cena.
You know what's really funny? One of the first matches I played on WWE 13 was John Cena versus John Cena, so he could beat the shit out of himself.
And how'd that turn out for you?
Thugonomics is the better gimmick.
Thugonomics. All right, so we got to remember that as opposed to Rise Above or whatever it is. Hustle, Loyalty, Respect.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, screw that.
Yeah, the one that nobody likes or cares about anymore. All right. Well, let's say we just hop right into this and see if we can stretch this out for a couple of minutes. Whoa, wait a minute. We've got an answer from Lindsay, guys.
And it doesn't surprise anybody.
Yeah. the question posed when we, you know, going all Howard Stern. Lindsay's natural, but she likes to keep it trimmed. Mace, what's your preference?
As long as it's clean.
That's all that matters. Omega, do you have a preference?
If I get to see it, I could care less.
You see, that's what I've been wondering. Do you ever get to see one? I'm sorry, that was a low blow. I apologize.
Low blow me, Tim.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't think so. Yeah. Anyway, let's just jump right into it with the tradition coming back, guys. Survivor Series main event is set. We've got Team Foley versus Team Punk. Now, what are your thoughts on this particular setup, Mace?
Well, I've already talked a little bit about this. My main issue with the return of the Survivor Series match is that they've pretty much taken three separate title matches and squashed them into one match.
Uh-huh.
Which means they're going to have to find replacement matches for those spots, which means we're probably going to get some absolutely horrible, horrible replacements. But other than that, it's good to see a Survivor Series match back in the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
Yeah, how long has it been now?
Well, a few years. 2007, 2008, I think.
That's like 4 or 5 years now. Omega.
So I think the last one was DX with CM Punk and a couple of other people. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that might have been 2007.
Sounds about right.
I could be wrong. They all start blurring after a week or two. Omega, what are you thinking about this?
Well, it's always nice to see the traditional Survivor Series match back. What I like about this one is it actually puts honest-to-God stars in it. I mean, I remember the days when they brag about, we're having a traditional Survivor Series match at the Survivor Series. Great! Who's in it? Bunch of nobodies who aren't fighting for anything at any time, anywhere.
Okay.
So this is the Survivor Series of the cast of Sunday Night Heat. Okay, thank you.
Okay, gotcha. Mace brought it up, all of these title holders. Are there too many title holders in the Survivor Series? Is there, like, does this mess really mess it up like Mace says as far as other matches go?
It's kind of hard to say because it all depends on what matches they book around it. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing another Survivor Series match for, you know, the mid-tier superstars. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as we're going to bring back the Survivor Series match, you know, maybe a little bit more like the traditional Survivor Series where you'd have a lot more of them than just one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're talking back to the days when it was an actual Survivor Series team tournament to crown the Ultimate Survivor.
Those were the days.
And what did the Survivor get at the end of the pay-per-view and when it was all said and done, guys, the original Survivor Series?
He got a title shot at the Rumble, wasn't it?
He got a title shot at the next pay-per-view.
Are you sure? Because you know, it's still a team. I mean, they don't all get a title shot.
Well, no, the, like the, each team had like, one potential number one contender who's, you know, like whichever team won, that contender got the next title shot.
Wow. Well, I'd never fly today.
That probably wouldn't work, would it?
No one in the WWE is going to help anyone else get a title shot like that, even on the face group.
But that, if you did do it, you could make it work. If you went back to doing that, you actually, I think you could make it work. Just picture the, internal rivalries that you could create amongst the members of the winning team.
Which would mean in the time after the Survivor Series, you'd have a lot of potential either heel or face turns.
Yep.
That's too much work for today's creative team, Tim.
That's too creative, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just get that in the CAW books, and we'll take a look at maybe doing that in one of our upcoming shows. So. Because that, actually, I kind of like that idea. That might be kind of neat. But anyway, back to topic at hand. Could they have set this whole thing up differently? Could it have been put together differently?
The only other way it would have been done is it would have been Team Punk versus Team Cena.
And we wouldn't want that now, would we?
Either way, it would still be the same people.
Yeah, true.
Even with Cena being on the I'm sort of not injured list, it just sort of puts it at, like, he would have been the guy at ringside if his arm was still completely screwed up.
Yeah.
So he'd just be taking the Foley role.
Okay.
And if he wasn't, then there'd be no Ryback.
Ryback. Good old Ryback. Ryberg? Goldback?
The bald guy that beats the shit out of people.
Skipberg.
Skipberg. There you go. Going all the way back to Skip Sheffield.
No, you know, I actually really like how it was set up because it was Foley that was kind of kicking off that part of the feud. So
yeah.
it does kind of play into recent history a little bit. You know, I'm glad, you know, it makes me glad that Foley wasn't just written in, just going, you know, I've got a real, okay, this is your chance for history. You pulled a great promo out that night. You know, this is your chance of history. Don't blow it. He blows it. And, you know, in normal WWE fashion, they wouldn't follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead we get Foley ready to start a riot over it, which is far more in character.
That's more Mick Foley. So.
At least Foley had the foresight or the brain in his head to sort of go, you know what? I'm not actually going to be on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I realize my time is gone. I can't wrestle. I am out of shape. I'm not going to get in the shape in time. So I'm going to have these guys in by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, I'm going to take a spot in the Survivor Series match, even though everybody's going to have to cover my ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, shit like that's been done before to various degrees of success. Why couldn't it be done with Foley?
Because the better feud, the better feud for Foley right now is against Heyman.
Microphone.
Heyman, the two guys on the outside of this match.
Hmm. That could be an interesting dynamic that we could potentially see down the road. Absolutely, you're right, Omega. Let's take a look at the teams right now. Team Foley is Ryback. Hell no, consisting of Daniel Bryan and Kane, of course. Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston. And of course, Team Punk is CM Punk, the Road Scholars, and The Miz and Alberto Del Rio. Now, looking at Team Foley, is there anybody that you would take off that team? And if so, who would you put on there in their place? I know, I did it again. Made you guys think.
See, there's two parts of this that, like, I mean, I'd like Hell No to be off the team only because I'd want them to continue their own thing and not get stuck in anything else.
Uh-huh.
But again, it kind of fits. Kinda.
Mm-hmm.
The one on the team that I'm not sure about is Orton.
Really?
Oh, okay, big name, top SmackDown guy, okay, fine. I don't see him as a team player like this.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with an Apex Predator gimmick. He shouldn't be palling around with these guys. Especially when, I mean, let's face it, he's not team captain, he's not even team commander.
Yeah.
Because we've defaulted that to Ryback, since he's the one feuding with Punk right now.
Yeah.
So, if anything, he's like third on the chain, which is not where you should be booking Orton.
Not really. I suppose you got a point there. Think back here when Stone Cold Steve Austin was a regular on WWE TV. Was he ever on a Survivor Series team?
Not to my knowledge.
To the best
not that I can easily recollect.
Yeah, to the best of my ability, I cannot for the life of me remember him being on a team. But according to Joe Producer here, he was back in 2001.
Right. Oh, Team Alliance.
Oh, okay. So that was
That doesn't count.
Let's not.
It's the invasion, screw it.
Exactly. That's the invasion. No, that doesn't count.
Yeah, the invasion screw up, as we like to think about it as. So.
You mean that one
because,
feud?
Because technically that... No, well, it was basically... If you take a look at Team WWF and Team Alliance, it pretty much consisted of... Team Alliance was mostly WWF guys.
Uh-huh.
With the exception of Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
And that's it. Maybe they had the Natural Born Thrillers in that, I can't remember. That was a shit show anyway.
Yeah, Rock is insistent and adamant that it was Survivor Series, so it counts. He's adamant.
He can be adamant all he likes.
To the best of our knowledge, he was, Steve Austin was technically involved in one Survivor Series. And of course, at the time, during his, run in WWE, Steve Austin was what they modeled Randy Orton's character after. You know, the lone predator, the guy that, you know, don't trust anybody, which of course, came from, I hate it when I draw a blank.
Don't trust anyone was an Austin gimmick.
Jake the Snake Roberts had the don't trust anyone thing before Jake, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, I don't know, I don't remember if that exact phrase was used, but at one point in time, Jake Roberts' intro theme was him hissing, trust me, trust me, trust me, and then his music started, the whole idea being you can't trust him because he's, you know, just as big a snake as Damien.
Right.
So, not like
see, here it is. Rock's put up the Team Alliance and Team WWF rosters. There's more guys. Like, they really should have done some swapping out of these teams.
Yeah.
Because you take a look at Team Alliance, Austin, Van Damme, Angle, Booker T, and McMahon.
Yep.
Against Rock, Jericho, Taker, Kane, and Big Show. They should have swapped Jericho and Big Show for McMahon and Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Only because then it would make more bloody sense, because you had Booker T, who at that point anyway was under a WWE contract and had already wrestled for the WWE at that point. You had Van Damme, who came in only straight ECW at the time.
Yep.
That match was such a fucking mess.
That's what it was.
Oh, by the way, guys, you know, as long as I was on Wikipedia double-checking the Survivor Series match, I took a look, and, yeah, they've been having Survivor Series matches every year. The tradition, basically, last year's was Team Barrett versus Team Orton, and to further my point, Orton has led like three Survivor Series teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember his gimmick for a long time used to be the sole survivor. That was like the one thing that always happened. You know, but last year's it was Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Jack Swagger, Hunico, and Ziggler against Orton, Sheamus, Mason Ryan, Kofi Kingston, and Sin Cara. So take a year off of all those guys, and yeah, you've got a nice collection of mid-carders there.
Yeah, that was Team Who Cares versus Team Who Gives a Shit.
Pretty much. I emphasize again, I'm glad real stars are in this one.
Yeah. Well, taking a look at Team Punk with Punk Rhodes and what's his name, The Miz and Del Rio, would you change anybody on his team? Swap him out for anybody else?
Miz and Del Rio.
You get rid of both of those guys.
I get rid of both of them.
All right, who'd you put in their place?
Unfortunately, and this is something that we'll get into later in the night, there's no one really to put back into that side, because the main event or the top end of the roster is so depleted and so minimum that there's nobody really worth putting in that team unless you're going to put Big Show in.
Mm-hmm.
But then you basically take out both of your big titles.
Yeah. Well,
there's no other real big time heels that you can put in there.
Well,
like,
what about?
You could put Cesaro in there, but nobody give a flying fuck about him.
Okay. Well, what about if you substitute one of those guys with Ziggler?
He'd get lost in the shuffle.
You figure?
Yeah. Look, I'm still adamant that in the last month and month and whatever we got left of this month, that we're going to start seeing Ziggler start getting his rise. I'm adamant that'll still happen, damn it. But
I'm not in denial, it will happen.
Pretty much. Plus, the way they've got things booked now, it looks like it's going to be Ziggler and Vicky versus Cena and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, that seems like a more worthwhile use of Ziggler than getting him lost in a 10-man.
Well, setting that up sounds to me like they're going to use Cena to get Ziggler over.
Honestly, can you think of a bigger tree in the forest to knock down if you're trying to put someone over?
Oh, absolutely not. But I like, I'm just saying I like that idea. I mean, maybe people will bitch about it after the fact. Because you know that once that matchup's officially announced, people are going to, moan because it's John Cena. Superman.
That's because people aren't thinking with a brain these days.
I've got to stop doing that, right?
Like, this is the thing. Yeah, Cena can fucking railroad Ziggler. That's fine. But the thing is, I believe that Cena and Ziggler can put on a good match, something that we haven't seen between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Apparently overseas they've been getting rave reviews on their matches.
Yeah, plus it's matches that we haven't seen en masse, mm-hmm. which is very different for Cena because he does the same thing every fucking month.
Yep.
So to have him up against Ziggler, somebody that he hasn't had a lot of time in the ring with, gives us something new and exciting to watch. And given the way WWE television has been lately, new and exciting is a whole mind-blowing concept for the company.
It'll definitely freshen up the product, that's for damn sure. Yeah. You guys, have you noticed that every single member of these teams is in a current feud with every single member of the other teams?
Yeah, convenient how that worked out.
You know, how obvious was that? That it'd be surprising how many people didn't pay attention to that or haven't paid attention to it.
It was so obvious that Ray Charles saw it.
Yeah, he's blind and dead.
Which makes me wonder about the people who did actually miss that. I don't know about you guys, but when you troll around the message boards and the comment section of these websites that post comment sections below their news articles, you can read some real winners in the entirely sarcastic sense of the word.
Real rocket scientists, huh?
Yeah, is this just too damned obvious for people, or what?
Unless things are put up on a giant billboard that flashes, hey, here's the information, you retards, a lot of people don't get it.
Yeah, and these are people who think they know everything about the product at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more adamant they are about knowledge, apparently the more deficit they are, or deficient, rather. Deficit, different story. So... yeah, you touched on Mick Foley not being in this match. Do you think he should have been?
No.
Not at all.
As Omega said, his best thing right now is to be against Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Because Foley can cut some real passionate promos these days, and against a guy like Heyman, you're going to be possibly digging up some gold there, especially with the history between those two.
Yeah, I don't think the word possibly belongs in that sentence, but that's just me. What do you think, Omega?
Oh, yeah, that's the point I brought up. I mean, it's the best role that Foley has right now. I mean, right now, his goal is to be Obi-Wan Kenobi versus, like the Emperor.
Yeah.
Don't act, but speak volumes.
Mm-hmm. Don't try, do or do not. There is no try.
No, Hornswoggle isn't in this match, Tim.
Okay, there you go. Thanks.
But mind you, everybody's gonna pop like hardcore the second Foley lands a punch on Heyman.
Because you figure that's gonna happen at the pay-per-view?
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen.
You don't figure that Foley's gonna go out and sucker CM Punk after being bumped or something like that?
No. Foley has said he has respect for Punk and what he's done, it's just that his attitude is out of place.
Okay.
So if Heyman decides to, pull Punk's foot on the rope after Ryback's hit him with something,
yeah.
Foley's going to charge around the other side of the ring and smash Heyman in the face.
Okay.
He won't lay a finger on Punk,
mm-hmm.
But he will definitely beat the crap out of Heyman.
Okay, so you figure that Paul Heyman is actually going to take that kind of a bump from Foley?
Yeah,
and be a hell of a.
It's not much of a bump to take. It's a punch. You fall backwards. It's a back bump. It's not like he's got to fucking flip bump it.
Well, all he's got to do is basically move his head with the with the swipe, and then sit on his ass, fall on his ass.
Yep, nothing to it.
But yeah, no, I can catch the crowd going huzzah huzzah for that, don't you think so, Omega?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Now, do you think that all of this is basically leading to Punk versus Foley at TLC? Maybe? Maybe?
No. I reckon Foley will stick to his guns. You know, he's not ready, he's not in shape, he's been away from the game too long, he's a comedian now, not a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He will not He will not get in the ring against Punk. Like, he might do it on Raw in a one-on-one situation that lasts all of 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't be in a pay-per-view situation with Punk.
So you don't think that Foley would do a pay-per-view match, but we could see him do it on Raw, and that would be fine, even if it's a squash or if it goes 5 minutes, say. Give him 5 minutes to work with each other.
Yeah, so, something like that I can deal with, like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Foley hits a few punches, Punk throws a comeback, hits a GTS, locks him in the Anaconda Vice, Ryback comes down to scare him off. It won't even be an official match, it'll be a fight.
Yeah, and that would just go to further the feud between Ryback and Punk, which I have, it's under good authority, is going to continue for quite some time because they're pretty much looking at Cena and Punk being over and done with.
So instead of shoving Cena down our throat, they'll be shoving Ryback.
Yep, and one thing I've noticed, let me just hold up for a second and let's take a phone call. Hey, caller, who's this and where are you calling from?
Hi, how are you all doing? Long time no speak, huh?
Oh, is that Norbert?
Hey, it's Eric. I just wanted to call and see how you guys were doing here.
Oh, we're doing good. How you doing? You got a question for us?
Yes, I do. You all do realize that Tuesday is election day, right?
Yeah, and the both candidates are wrestling for votes.
That's right. They're tangled up, it says. Neck and neck, you know? But I just wanted to get in here and remind you and all you listeners out there to get out and vote.
That's right. Get out and vote. Tuesday, Super Tuesday. That's in the United States only. Mace, you're not eligible to vote.
Oh, what a pity. I'm such an American at heart.
Oh, but if you were eligible to vote, would you vote for Mitt Romney or Barack Obama?
I'd vote for Count Chocula.
There you go. Omega, I'm assuming your vote goes to Booberry? Omega? Omega, you can come back.
Let's get him off.
Got scared off, yeah.
No, I believe that the line... I've got to try and remember the movie off the top of my head now. Jeez, I can't remember the principal actor. Usually did movies with Gene Wilder. Richard Pryor. He did Brewster's Millions is the movie. Where, Pryor's character, Brewster, says, you know, I gotta waste money, so what's the best way to waste money? I'm gonna try and run to be mayor of New York.
Yeah.
And he goes, does this whole campaign, then he changes his slogan to, instead of people voting for him, you vote none of the above. That was his whole catch, was instead of saying, you know, go against the guys who are up for election or me, you vote none of the above. Don't like the candidates in the presidential election? None of the above. Think about it. Anyway. I think we should go to break, Tim. I think Tim broke. So in that case, well, since Omega's disappeared and Tim's in network, you're listening to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and Tweaked Audio. Get Tweaked and all that other good stuff. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
For this election year, Jed and myself have decided that you should ignore all the other candidates and instead vote for the two people who will actually bring change to this country. Not only will we bring change, we're bringing hashtags with us, starting with hashtag BS2012.
Boobies.
Hashtag Thin the Herd.
Boobies.
Hashtag Smash the Snow Globe.
Boobies.
Wait, are you guys talking about my boobies again?
Boobies!
Damn it, Jed, you blew our cover!
I meant babies.
Sure you did.
In this election year, vote Barry Schaefer, 2012, and hear us every Wednesday night on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Boobies!
Whoa, ho, ho, everybody. Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com reminding you that every Friday night we get deep. That's right. Have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m. with my wake-up call. We talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppins, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high performance for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your butt starting at only $12.95. Head on over to TweakedAudio.com. Grab a pair. Get Tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion, Brooke Tessmacher, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No, I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it.
Gentlemen, to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I believe we're still missing a Canadian. Do we have a Floridian?
I think I'm here.
We have a Canadian.
I should be here.
I hope you are. Do you need to recount?
He isn't.
Don't mention recount right now.
Whoa, that goes back to 2000. 12-year-old joke, and it's still funny to those of us who don't live in Florida.
True. Just bear with me one moment. Like, I know political talk's not really warranted on this network, but I have to say how scary this is. Like, I was reading up on what's been going on. It's hit the news down here and everything. If I heard this right, Ohio is the most contended state in the U.S. right now.
I blame
Spud. Between the two candidates. Yeah, I'm scared. Spug holds the fate of the country in his hands.
That's just scary.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this could be worse than 2000.
Anyway, but yeah, that brings the end of it. I just wanted to point out that Spug holds the fate of the U.S. in his hands.
I'd like to just say to all the Americans, if you want to get some really interesting, unbiased political news, if you're into, you know, your presidential race at all, seek your news sources from an outside agency, not from American newscasters. Like, read some of the stuff out of Australia, read some stuff closer to home, out of Canada, and you're going to get a perspective that you would not believe. I've been reading the American news, and I read Canadian, the Canadian news agencies all the time, and holy cow, the difference is night and day.
But anyway.
The unfortunate thing is media here is going to do what it takes to make people tune in on election night, not what it takes to actually inform them.
Yeah. But Jersey Girl is, she shares her fear, I think, Mace.
Yeah.
See, the upside, Jersey, is that, come Tuesday, if we are doomed to burn forever, we can blame Spug.
Yeah, there you go. So you got.
I always knew if America was going to burn, Spug would be involved somehow. Does this mean he's starting the body wall?
I should not laugh at that because it just rings so prophetic because it's Spug. Spug, love it.
But speaking about polling and taking surveys and what do you do, what do you watch, it seems the WWE's done their own little survey recently.
Oh, God,
yeah. Tunes in some very interesting, if not probably very fucking skewed results.
Well, can I just say something before we continue with this, Mace? Because the fact that it's on the notes and we're going to be talking about it. Is there any way we can avoid any kind of poll or list or anything that comes off the WWE website from now on?
No. Live with it.
Damn it. Okay, continue.
Well, it seems that a recent survey has shown that the WWE has at least 100 million fans in the United States of America.
Bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much.
That just like,
and Rock even gave us a little breakdown of it, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It seems that at least 30% of those fans are active WWE fans.
Okay.
And 20, the rest are lapsed fans.
Okay, so
I don't know really how to interpret these numbers because for some reason they got 100 million fans out of only surveying 9,000 households.
Yeah, what you do is you take a look at the numbers and go by percentages and stuff like that, and it's like for every one bad letter that a company gets, it's got 10 customers that are pissed off with them, and only one out of 10 is going to bitch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's how this polling bullshit works, but 100 million fans in the U.S. based on polling 9,000 households, they're including lapsed fans, which means people who don't watch anymore. What did you say, 30% of these 100 million fans are current viewers?
Well, I'm trying to work out how they've got their breakdown, because their breakdown is like 100% of respondents, whereas 50% are non-fans, 20% are lapsed fans, and 30% are active WWE fans, which is broken down even further.
Okay.
So the active fans go down to parents, light, casual, casual, and passionate fans.
Uh-huh.
So, oh my. Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
See, I worked for the Australian Bureau of Statistics for 9 months, and even I can't work this shit out.
Okay, well, it breaks down to me. 30 million people pay attention to WWE on some kind of basis. Some of them will TiVo the or PVR an episode of Raw or NXT or SmackDown or whatever. And how many of those, you know, you could try to break that down even further, but it would take another question on the poll. How many people just watch Vintage? How many people just watch Superstars? How many people just watch Main Event? How many people just watch NXT? Right?
I got an answer for that last one.
Okay. Three people watch NXT.
And I think there's only one person who watches Saturday Morning Slam.
Okay. Well,
hey, I watched it yesterday.
Okay, well, you're...
That's
you're...
only because the first match on that show is actually worth watching.
Oh, wait a minute. Two people watch Saturday Morning Slam. Rock and Omega.
Wow. 100% increase in viewership.
Hey, here's a shock. I'm up watching kids shows on Saturday mornings.
Well, there's a surprise. What's the matter? The cartoons were reruns?
Yes.
Goddamn straight they were, goddammit. You see, when the reruns, I just go back to bed. I mean, that just makes most sense to me. You know what I mean?
Well, the old day you used to turn on the Super Nintendo when it was a rerun.
Okay, yeah. Or the N64?
If I was so inclined.
Yeah, I dug out my N64 the other day. I'm thinking about playing a game of Rogue Squadron later on.
God. I don't know if it's the cart that's glitchy or my N64, but I do have that game.
Really? Yeah, what about Shadows of the Empire?
God, I played Shadows of the Empire to death.
Oh, man. I have to play it with the view where the camera is looking over his shoulder as opposed to, the first person. Because I'm one of the 5% that suffers maladies from first-person video games.
Well, in that game, I prefer the third-person mode, too.
Yeah.
God, I played that to death. I remember being able to fly figure eights through the AT-AT's legs when you're doing the tow cable.
That was fun. Of course, when I get
bored... in those days, you needed skills like a boss.
When I get tired of both of those Star Wars games, I plug in the Muhammad Ali boxing game that I have. Kings of the Ring 2000, I think it was called.
Wow. And here it is every now and again when I get bored, I pull up Punch-Out on the 3DS.
The Punch-Out.
Mind you, you know, thinking about the Star Wars game, doing figure eights through the legs of the AT-AT, these days it'd be a fucking quick time event.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, it goes to show, back in the day, gamers had to have skills. Today, they just need to push buttons.
Welcome to Geek Talk Live on the Wild Talk Network.
It's embarrassing. Like, Mario games were never all that hard, but these days, if you die a few times too many, you can push a button and make the computer play the stage for you.
Meanwhile, I'm laughing ass off because of the reaction to you guys had to Rock redoing the intro with the Big Bang Theory stuff.
Hey, we're talking video games, not comic books.
Well, yeah, but
that's my question. That's my question. Why didn't the bashing the books guy get the comic book one?
Because he thought it was funnier having the Indian guy doing an American accent, because somehow I'm Indian trying to do an American accent.
Well, you're closer to Southeast Asia than we are.
God.
I suppose we have more of the bastards in our country than you do.
So that would make you an Eskimo, Tim.
Oh, well, I just want to, first, before I dignify that with no response at all, Omega, just let me address to Mace, you've got to get your ass to North America, come to Calgary, and you want a tour of Little India? I'll take you around Whitehorn and Temple. More of them in your area.
Dude, I could take you down the fucking street.
Well, that's...
have invaded my country like a plague, like a fucking plague of rats.
Well, that's basically what I said. Go down the street. Temple's just, you know, down the street and around the corner. So is Whitehorse.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to travel halfway around the world to get the same experience I could get if I walk 5 minutes down the road.
Okay, so then we could go west.
It's cheap. It's cheaper to go 5 minutes down the road than it is to go to Canada.
Okay, well, then we could go...
Who said I'd ever be going to Canada? I'd be going to the U.S. and probably be kidnapped in there somewhere.
Oh, there you go. We could go west instead of east and hitch up the horses.
No, I don't want to go anywhere near the French Canadians.
French Canadians are further east. That's why I like west. The further west I go, the better. Besides, 1 hour west of here is the Rocky Mountains. So that's a good thing.
Mace, I think Rock nailed it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, these days you can't even make yourself die in a video game.
Oy.
We should know. We tried.
Have you guys seen the latest Black Ops commercial?
Nope.
I would care about Black Ops.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, at one point, that Robert Downey Jr. has a cameo in that commercial. He's flying the fighter jet. And at the very, like, right at the very end, after the last guy bombs the second last guy, he looks up, and all these zombies are coming across the battlefield after him. And it's like, what do they incorporate two different game genres into one with this? Hey, nice kick, Mace.
It's up and it's good!
3 points for Mace. Yay, motherfucker!
Anyway, so, we were talking about the WWE around here somewhere.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think we've all reacted to the survey, haven't we?
Pretty much. And the survey says, we don't care.
The
only thing the survey tells me is that out of WWE's 100 million fans, 4% actually watch its product on Monday nights.
Yeah, there you go.
That's... If WWE wants to tout that numbers, that makes your ratings all that more depressing.
Oh my god. You know what? I just noticed something. We don't hate Indians, and you thinking that we don't like you because you're Jewish, you're on the wrong website to be saying shit like that. Isn't that right, Rock?
Don't worry. I straightened this shit out, Tim. Let's continue with the show.
I just wanted to say it. That's all. I had to say it because it begged saying. Let's talk about the WWE Network, guys. It's been announced that, it will be a pay service along the lines of HBO, Showtime, you know, like Super Channel in Canada, stuff like that. Is this a smart move by WWE to make it a pay cable channel?
At this point, I think it's the only way they can make even a dime off of all of the shows they've already shot for it.
Mm-hmm.
All it says is that, no one would take this. No service provider would actually air this on any program, on any package, in any way.
Yeah.
So now we got to make you pay for it.
Well, my question is, what are they going to charge for the damn thing? I mean, I remember when pay TV first came out in Canada. When I was like in my 20s and stuff like that, like TSN, everybody had to have the sports network because it was a network dedicated to sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on TV, not radio. So we all had to shell out, $5.99 a month just to have that channel. And it was bundled with other channels that you had to pay money for. So the bundle wound up costing you like $39.95 a month. And they had, what was it? 3 channels out of 6 that you wanted. The other 3 were channels they couldn't give away. But they bundled it, so you had no choice but to take it.
Yeah, I hate that.
We're lucky. Like, we have bundles over here for most of our channels, but for me it doesn't matter because we got pretty much everything. But we do have a certain selection of specialty channels, which are ranging from $10 to $15 a month each.
Okay.
So if they want to do something like that with our cable down here, you know, $15 a month, that's less than I pay for fucking pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal here is that they've got to figure out how much to charge that's going to let them recoup the cash and start to profit. I'd say, what, television time within the next 2 years. They got to start to turn a profit on this thing.
Well, yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, like...
But the thing is, like, this would be something to definitely cater to the nostalgia market. And as you and I both know extremely well, Omega, the nostalgia market can be a very profitable place when used properly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The trick here is that they can't charge so much that it's going to eat into how many people buy the pay-per-views. Because, you know, a lot of people, well, the pay-per-views are really fucking expensive for one three-hour show, especially when you're dishing out a free three-hour show every Monday.
Yeah.
So there's got to be this balance between earning this money back on this network and not making our fans pay even, you know, too much to be comfortable.
You know, if WWE wants to make money with all of the shit that they're trying to do, they got to get rid of the accountants and the lawyers and bring in some economists. You know, you stop and you think about it. Like you were saying, we get a free pay-per-view length show every single Monday night, and you're expecting us to spend upwards of $50 and in the case of WrestleMania, $60 for a pay-per-view?
Yeah, they pretty much shot themselves in the foot with that idea.
Yeah, big time. What they need to do is drop the price of the pay-per-view. They get a lot of people coming back who have stopped purchasing pay-per-views because it's an expense that the majority of people can do without, especially nowadays. Let's face it, you know, you get all these people yapping, well, you know, like streaming illegally is a bad idea and I never do it. Yeah, and how many of you are hypocrites when you say that to other people and you still watch the illegal streams? I'm not going to admit to it or anything like that, but you know.
I do.
You know what I mean?
I admit to it every fucking Monday night.
Yeah, well, you're in Australia, so it's not like they can extradite you or anything, right?
Oh, they probably could.
Oh,
but
they could try.
The thing is, like, okay, if they're gonna run a channel separately as something you can buy separately, to be honest, I wouldn't mind paying anywhere up to 20, maybe 25 bucks a month if included in that is the pay-per-view on a slight delay. Like a week to 2 week delay.
Okay. Interesting thought. Just reading what Rock is posting in our production chat here about this whole thing as far as handling the network. It's going to be a premium subscription model, which means they're going to be charging like $5.99 a month. If it's a premium subscription, generally that means it's standalone and you're paying top dollar for it.
That's fine. To be honest, if there was one thing that I was extremely jealous of was the WWE 24/7 concept,
mm-hmm.
where you could get that, and you had old AWA, you had Nitros, you had WCW stuff, you had ECW stuff, you had Mid-South, you had this, that, and the other. You had, they've got plenty of content that is worth the money.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why I wouldn't mind paying upwards of 20 plus bucks for the network, because I know I will be getting my money's worth out of it just in the back catalog.
Yeah, I mean, WWE Network will run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll do it probably the same model that most premium pay channels work. They'll do 12 hours of regular programming, and then the following 12 hours is a repeat of the first 12 hours, and then they move to the new day, do the same damn thing. So you're guaranteed 12 hours of first-run programming, nostalgia, and maybe if they work it into it, like it says, they've got one model that has the pay-per-views. You know, you get the network, you get all of this content plus pay-per-views, and you're only going to be paying 25 or 30 bucks a month for the channel. It's almost worth it that way. Almost.
Well, I see it this way. Like, if they, like, we have ideas of how they're going to run it, but mm-hmm. if they really want to maximize people watching it and paying for it, you have Raw Live on Mondays. That's 3 hours of your 12-hour content done there. Still run on USA, but you run it a little bit delayed or commercial-free or whatever on the channel.
Breaks, you give them extra stuff, like maybe matches, like a quick little match that,
Or drink. Recap packages or something.
Yeah, and then backstage segments and shit like that they don't put on USA.
Put the, you know, put the YouTube stuff on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, Rock, they can't actually put Raw on the network, but I'm just saying if they really want to maximize people buying it,
yeah,
you include all your current day WWE stuff, which would probably only take up a maximum of, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day or every couple of days. You fill in the gaps with old content, so you're looking at anywhere from 9 to 10 hours of new of the old content every, but it doesn't even have to be WWE content.
No, it could be NWA, yeah, wrestling, any library that they've bought.
You know,
and on the weekends, I'll give it, hell, throw half a dozen pay-per-views up.
Well, I'll give you the brilliant thing. I'll give you the brilliant idea. Like, here's how you do it.
Saturday.
Yeah, here's how you do it. You put like, okay, so you think of like WCW running on like a monthly schedule or something, the way it formats. You run like Monday through Thursday, you know, like every night, do it, 7, 8 p.m. or whatever. You air an episode of Nitro 4 days out of the week, and maybe you fill out the slot with like a Thunder or something on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that you put all these Nitros together in order, and then the pay-per-view they were leading up to. So you get the entire month's worth of content 1 week.
Yeah, or you could put, say, Nitro on after Raw. So you do a Raw repeat and you play the Nitro equivalent leading up to on the weekend, then you do a double header of the pay-per-views.
Yeah, that's one thing. You can't put Raw live on the network. So what you do is you dedicate 3 hours 1 day in the week. Like up in Canada here, the Score does Raw twice on Monday night. And then they have a full, complete replay Tuesday afternoon. So the network, you take say Wednesday. You select Wednesday for the Raw replay, and then you have do what you. The other thing they do up here on the Score Network is they have a panel, you know, and it's called Aftermath. It used to be called Right After Raw, but they changed the name to it for obvious legal reasons. They call it Aftermath, and it's a panel of guys. One of them is Arda Okal. I'm sure that name is familiar to wrestling fans. The other one is Jimmy Corderas. That name should definitely be familiar to WWF, WWE fans, because for 20 years he was one of the main referees for WWE. And these two guys sit back and they do pretty much what we do for pay-per-view reviews. They sit down and they talk about what they just saw, what was their win, what was their fail, what they should have done more of, what they should have done less of, what worked, what didn't, where is the storyline going, yada, yada, yada. And they do all of that in 30 minutes. And so there you go. You've got 3 hours and 30 minutes of content 1 day a week right there.
Yeah, and then you could run your documentaries and everything else. Like on a Saturday afternoon, you sit down, you watch a documentary about the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the possibilities of what they can do with the network are virtually endless,
yep,
given their back catalog, what they can do with their current stuff, plus their YouTube stuff, plus specialty things like documentaries and, you know, compilations and stuff like that. The issue here is pricing.
Yeah, I don't want
to get if they get the correct price for this, they're going to be making money hand over fist in a couple of years. But
yeah,
they've got to be willing to take that loss over the first couple of years to try and get the profit running.
Well, when you're as big as WWE and have the money that Titan Sports Entertainment has, you can afford to take that hit on television for a couple of years until it becomes profitable. Right.
Well, that's the way a lot of business runs. I mean, me and Mace are very familiar with it in the video game industry. I mean,
yeah,
most consoles don't profit. I mean, God, did it take like 7-8 years for the Xbox division of Microsoft to start running a profit?
Something like that. I know the Sony division lost money hand over fist for the first, I think it was 2 years of the PS3's development.
Oh, it was even more than that, because they were selling a PS3 for $600, but it cost $1,000 to produce each one.
Yeah, then they're now making a good profit over it because
but that's just how technology runs. You know, the, you know, it's not current anymore, so it's cheaper to make.
Yeah,
but there's so many ideas you can run with that. I hope Mace will get this. Take like the Cartoon Network approach of Saturday night. You know, this will probably get Mace to buy us. Saturday night, you run the mature audience.
Saturday Rock and Wrestling?
No, that's Saturday mornings. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, good point.
The later hour, past prime time, you run the more mature programming like ECW and the raunchiest of the Attitude Era. There's a lot of that content. You could do a month straight without repeating with the raunchiest of the Attitude Era.
But the thing is, you don't have to do it all in a row. You can space this stuff out. That's the thing. They've got enough content to space this all out very well.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't talking about, like, doing it all in a row. I'm just saying you've got enough to do one straight.
But that's the thing. Like, I understand, like, Omega and I are on the same wavelength with the old-school Toonami / Adult Swim style. But that thing used to be, well, at least down here, it used to be a Saturday night deal.
Yep.
Yeah, it was late nights, Saturday nights, and that's when all your more mature content would be hitting Cartoon Network. You do the same thing on the WWE. And you could stretch it out for friggin' years, which is what they want to do, because they need to get to the point where they're going to start making money. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be quick.
Well, this is something that we could all spend like an hour like on a panel. Trying to figure out for WWE how they could run this that would be equitable for their fans and their bottom line. But I think right now it's time that we get ready for our next break.
We could. Indeed.
Then right before we go to break, I just want to remind everybody that the next WTR Pick'em begins tonight. This is kind of a big one. It's going into the next TNA pay-per-view, but kids, we got a treat for you. Whoever wins this week's WTR Pick'em Challenge will receive a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs. All right? Bloodstained Memoirs features exclusive behind-the-scenes insight into some of the greatest, most historic, and groundbreaking matches of the last 30 years. It's an insightful and unique look into the world of professional wrestling heavyweight legends, including Rowdy Roddy Piper, Rob Van Dam, and Chris Jericho will talk candidly about the things that matter most to them. Bloodstained Memoirs, yours for the taking, if you win WTR Pick'em. And that's coming up a little bit later on this evening. Everybody stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for Roundtable. Stay tuned for Rocks Buy and Sell, The Great Debate, and even more right here on Wrestle Talk Ready. We'll be back right after this.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Every Monday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zima Ion, Brooke Testmacher, Ruby E.
Wait, who wrote this? No. I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No rack, named after some brush. That's awesome.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It goes one for the money, homie, two for the show. We told the roof off his mother, now it's time to blow. Water, don't bother, we let it burn. We keep the fire just a little bit hotter. That way you'll learn. Respect I earn. Strong you with the click that I hang. Respect I earn. Ever since I got
since Tim doesn't want to do it, welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I could have done it. I was asking if we were waiting for Mace.
When I already said go, you mean you should go.
Well, I was busy checking my emails when you typed in go, so I didn't say it in time. What?
Nothing.
Well, jeez.
Nothing.
Professional.
And I'll tell you. So, yeah, going back to what I said before the break. Guys, gals, everybody, if you know someone who might want to win a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs, get their asses out of bed, wake them up, get them at the computer, and get them listening to WTR's Pick'em Challenge so they, too, can participate. When you guys play, don't forget, email your picks to media at wildtalkradio.com. And the one and only real King Kittens, who's just calling himself King Kittens now, in the chat room, he will be putting together a spreadsheet of everybody who's playing, what their picks are, and he will compile the spreadsheet as the pay-per-view goes on. It's TNA Turning Point, by the way, in case you didn't remember or didn't know or whatever. You don't have to know anything about it just to play. It doesn't cost you nothing but like a couple of minutes of your time. Pick the winners of the matches. You could win a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs. I'd like to get my hands on a copy of that.
You would, but you're not eligible to win, Tim.
I know. So what I think that we should do, everybody involved with the Wild Talk Radio Network, should play for bragging rights, meaning that once the winners are announced, the winner who is involved with the network, who gets the most right, should be allowed to go, ha-ha, I know more than you do, at least for this week. And
I get to do that every week.
Well, that's beside the point. I mean, I do it all the time. Difference between you and me, Omega, is my bragging's deserved.
What's your fan base like, Mr. Stallion?
If I did a little geeky website thing about robot dolls that turn into cars, I'd have a lot of followers, too.
I make money playing with toys. Suck on that.
How much money do you make playing with toys?
More than you think.
You don't want to mention it, do you, chicken?
So we'd like to thank the folks at Revolver Entertainment for hooking us up with a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs to give out to the fans of WTR.
Yes, a big, hearty, very big, huge thank you very much to them.
Which means Tim won't be mailing it out, so they'll actually get it.
Yes, you're actually going to get this. Yep. Tim has, okay. This is going nowhere near Tim.
Seriously, enough of this bullshit. I'm tired of it.
Well, it's true.
Well, don't piss me off and then I'll mail shit to you, that's all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mailed something to somebody once. They never said thank you.
Taking us back 10 years.
I'm assuming Mace is back.
Mace has been back through that whole dryer tribe, so...
Awesome! That's great!
I don't make money, playing with toys, which is why I just play with toys. I haven't worked out a way to monetize my toy habits yet. Eventually, I hope to be making money playing video games.
There you go. I want to be a Canadian picker, go around the country and buy junk for a low price and sell it to suckers for a high price.
Not gonna make.
Shut up. Just don't even go there. Why don't we just dive into the round table right now, guys?
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Any chance you can replay that intro? Because it was kind of sort of interrupted at the very beginning. Could you play it again?
No. Just go with the segment, Tim.
Okay, Kane Kittens, I tried. Sorry. Here's the round table question tonight.
I know Kane Kittens likes to hear me in pain, but it just doesn't faze me anymore.
Oh, damn. We got to find something else that pisses you off or upsets you or something, I guess. Anyway, chat room kids, play along with us. We'd love to get your reactions to this. But roundtable question for tonight, guys. Which has been a bigger mistake made by WWE in the last year? Not capitalizing on Zack Ryder's popularity or pulling back on the pushes of main event level talent like The Miz? Let's go to Mace.
Gee, this sounds like such a familiar topic. I feel like I've talked about this one before, probably on a Thursday night with some chick with tits.
Chick?
As opposed to the chick without tits on the network.
It's on the network. Yeah, her name's Ellen Wojcik. Sorry, Alan, just kidding.
Tim said it, not me.
We love you. Alan's got something, by the way. We'll point out the video that he posted on Facebook. <you're> on.
Anyway,
1 point
you're not
Omega.
Step right now with 10 foot pole. I'm sorry, Omega, if that was just too good. Thank you for not saying it out loud.
To be honest, pulling back on the pushes of main event level talent, because take a look at one of the things I mentioned earlier in the show with the whole Survivor Series discussion. You don't have anyone of a high caliber to replace anyone in that match, unless you want to rip up other title matches. Like the main event, the big caliber characters are so depleted, or they're injured, or they're off doing movies, or they're about to go off and do movies, or they got the military after them to not do a movie, or, you know, they're working programs here, there, and everywhere. They don't have, like, the base of backups that they really need. Mm-hmm. Like, you take a look at the whole Cena situation. The second he got injured, the entire fucking company went into a panic.
Yeah.
Because they had no backup. And when you turn around and you go, you know, here it is, we got a guy like The Miz who's been in the main event scene. He has proved himself in the main event scene. Oh, but we don't really want to try and let him do it again because it might not work out. You know what? There's this little system in life that's called risk versus reward. If you don't take the risk, you don't get the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the point where Tim takes over, says something unfunny, and then goes to Omega.
I wasn't going to say anything unfunny at all. I was just going to say interesting thoughts and opinions. Omega, what do you think?
See, I read this question in the run sheet, and something in my head translated it to, okay, which was the worst move? Not properly utilizing their talent, or not properly utilizing their talent.
It just kind of sort of boils down to the same question, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a criminal shame that Zack Ryder got that popular, did all the work himself to get that over, got put into, you know, what were at the time pretty damn big storylines, you know, with Cena and everything. And then nothing. You know, the guy on his own got his merchandise sales as high as Cena and Punk, and, you know, just did an outstanding job of selling himself when the WWE refused to sell him. And they didn't want a dime of it for some reason. It's almost as if they took offense. You know, it was weird, because the report was, oh, WWE's very supportive of people going out and getting themselves over. You think, because A, it's free publicity, but at the same time, they don't utilize the people who do. Mm-hmm. So it's free publicity, but they're also punished for doing it because their plans are so either A, strict and completely unshakable, or B, so slipshod that they don't know how to respond to anything new, which goes into the other part of the problem. They don't want to do anything new. They don't want to use they don't want to boost the talent up. They don't want to utilize new people. They don't want to, it kind of speaks volumes that, you know, they'd rather give the world title back to Big Show now than give Dolph Ziggler the world title after he's been holding on to that Money in the Bank this long. You know, all the teasing and honestly just kind of forgetting about it for a long time. You know, you almost forget what that little blue box he keeps bringing out is.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing to hit people with.
Yeah. it's a foreign object, that's it.
Yeah. You know, you basically...
It's,
go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, just to finish it off here, I mean, it's pretty much just a game of numbers. In the end, you're also asking, okay, there's, okay, about half a dozen talent that they haven't used versus one talent they haven't used. So, you know, obviously the worst move is not pushing their talent who deserve it.
Yeah.
Well, you, mentioned something that, I kind of sort of had formulated into the back of my head as soon as I read this when I got home today too. It's the same question at the end of the day. I mean, Zack Ryder could be, you know, right up there main eventing. Sure, not winning anything because I don't think he's ready to win anything yet, but, he could be right up there challenging, regularly. He's earned it. He, you know, just marketed the shit out of himself like crazy. And, he's got his merchandise sales up there the whole bit. But at the same time, I've never really liked Miz as a main event level talent. I think there are other guys on the roster they could put into that place. However, it's a bit of a moot point because they're not utilizing any of them because they're stuck in a rut. Maybe that's why the majority of creative got their asses fired, is because of the rut that has been there for several years. And people haven't really complained about it all that much until the last couple of years, because it's, you know, status quo has been all fine and peachy and dandy. And the guys are young enough to rebound from injuries. However, guys like Cena are starting to get up there now. And
I don't think I don't think it's so much that as it is the writers that got fired, thank God for it, mm-hmm. just they were too scared to take the risk. They would rather play it safe with a talent that's already at the top of the game rather than taking advantage of the opportunities they're given. I mean, you mentioned Zack Ryder all night.
Yeah.
They had a world of opportunity with him. And, you know, who knows if he would be a world title contender by now or not, because you didn't do anything with the guy. You know, if you actually pushed him the way he deserved to be pushed, who knows where he'd be right now.
Yeah, well, he's not in the main event. Well, that's because you haven't put him in the main event.
Yeah, but look at the opportunity they had with The Miz. It's the guy who beat Cena at WrestleMania. Yeah. You know, short of beating Undertaker at WrestleMania, you don't get much more momentum than that. And they squandered it.
Mm-hmm.
They had one plan for the guy, it fell through, and then they could not figure out what to do with him again.
Quite a hard time arguing with that point, absolutely. I basically lost my train of thought because of that little diatribe. So thank you.
Anytime.
But yeah, you know, I was saying I really had a hard time seeing Miz as, you know, like a main eventer, but it's a moot point because they're not utilizing any of the talent that they could or even should. But one thing you did mention was, you know, they're wasting Zack Ryder because he hasn't cashed in yet. I don't agree. I think the teases are, you know, it's a bit of an old school style build-up, really. And I see Big Show winning the title as the next step to Dolph Ziggler coming out and cashing in. Because maybe he doesn't do it next pay-per-view, but the one after that. And they give Show 2 months with the title as opposed to just one. And he's in a rematch with the Great White Hype.
Sheamus.
But yeah, he's in a rematch with Sheamus. It doesn't matter who wins. Say Big Show retains, but they both kicked the living crap out of each other. And it shows all buggy, and then out comes Ziggler. And pins Big Show and wins the title. Is it a bigger deal if Ziggler pins Big Show, or is it more believable if he comes out and wins the title by pinning Sheamus when he cashes in?
Your better move would be to play it as Sheamus winning back his world title. Mm-hmm. But at such an exhausting expense, he can't fend off Ziggler cashing in. And that way, Ziggler does to Sheamus exactly what Bryan did to Big Show.
Yeah.
And you can play this to a triple threat.
Mm-hmm. But you do that, how long do you let Ziggler carry the belt?
Jeez, it depends, man.
Do you do it like some NFL teams do? Oh, hey, Mace, football! Where the play,
he's out.
You know, they hot hand, and they stick with the quarterback that wins until that quarterback loses before they put in a new one, the backup or the other guy or whatever. Do you let Ziggler hang himself? Do you give him enough rope to see if he does hang himself? Or do you have a set where he just has it until Ryan loses it at WrestleMania?
I'd say give him the same length of rope you gave Jericho. Jericho had 4 months with the Undisputed title just to see if he could run with it. And he did fairly well. I mean, he held it long enough to where it was credible that he was the world champion.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was still basically a trial run for his first world title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you take it all the way to WrestleMania. I mean, I don't think Dolph is a big enough draw to be one of the two main events. Especially now if you're talking about a WrestleMania that most likely won't have The Undertaker to be your third main event.
Okay.
So,
well, is WrestleMania where you pull out that triple threat match then?
I don't think you run it that long. The triple threat would probably come at the Royal Rumble.
Okay. I'm curious the scenario that we're attempting to book.
I wasn't paying any attention.
Thanks for playing.
And I think I'd run it to Hell in the Cell. I'd have him lose it there, because when you're up against that many other guys, there isn't too much shame in losing a title that way.
You mean Royal Rumble?
No, Hell in the Cell. They usually run that in between Rumble.
No, we just had Hell in the Cell. You mean Chamber?
Oh, yeah, Chamber. It's one of the big cages, Rock.
Yeah, one of the big cage pay-per-views. There you go.
The one with the six people in the cage.
By elimination. By yeah. Process of elimination, it's the Elimination Chamber. That's up next. Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's the round table, and definitely brings up enough fodder that we could, you know, there's another 45-minute conversation we could all have, which we might dedicate 45 minutes to at some point in time between now and whenever it happens. But for now, I think at this point in time, it's time to find out if we're going to shut up and take your money.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or some.
No! 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 No!
Simple and to the point, buy or sell, that Stevie Richards never got the opportunity he deserved to be a star in wrestling. Mace.
What did Stevie Richards ever do to create that opportunity? That's... like, this is sell, straight up. He was given opportunities, he was given gimmicks, and he just went along and did them. He never did anything to make himself stand out. He never did anything to make anybody have interest in him or have hope in him or see him as anything above what he was. He was a workhorse. He was a guy that you put out there to just go do a match and come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did it when he was in Right to Censor. He did it when he was Raven. He did it when he was... everything else that he's also done. He never took that opportunity and tried to turn into something bigger. he was in the time, in these WWE runs, he was still in a time where they were rewarding initiative on behalf of the talent. And he did nothing. And because he did nothing, they just, okay, we'll keep sending you a check. You know, it's good to have you on. You're good old reliable. Unless you actually are willing to step up and create something with what you've got, you don't deserve to be a fucking star. You have to create your own opportunities in wrestling, and Stevie Richards never did that.
Since Tim coughed, Tim.
Well, I wouldn't say that Stevie Richards did nothing in wrestling. I would say that Stevie Richards was too much of a company man. He did what he was told to do, and he did it cookie cutter. At one point in time, he was considered, or at least the idea was, he would be considered the poor man's knockoff of Shawn Michaels. You know, he's got the Stevie kick and all this other stuff. He was never as charismatic as HBK. Then again, not a hell of a lot of guys working the ring are as charismatic as HBK, let's face it. I agree with a lot of what May said. He didn't take the ball and run with it. He was a good boy. He was a good employee. He was solid. He was dependable. He did what you told him to do. Mm-hmm. He didn't make anything his own. And so I'm along, you know, I'm saying very much the same thing as Mace, just a slightly different way. You're not taking my money. This is definitely a sell.
Omega.
Sell number three. He had an opportunity. It's called Right to Censor. He was the leader of a faction. They were feuding with Jerry Lawler. You got Monday Night Raw attention time. It's a hell of a lot more than he ever got in the rest of his career. And during that time, he did nothing. He didn't shine. He didn't impress. He was Stevie. I mean, guy's a good worker. He's a good workhorse. I mean, WWE put him against a lot of talent to make him look good, and that's a job you have to be good at too, even if you're going to look up at the lights every night. But in the end, he had his chance. He blew it. You know, if he wants to blame someone, blame himself.
Job squad, pin me, pay me.
Okay. Buy or sell El Loco. El Locale as the great nickname for a masked wrestler. Oh my god.
Love it. I love the joke to it. It was hysterical. So yeah, bye.
Mace.
I want to see this more.
See, buying it. I already want the action figure. He is my new hero. He is greater than Sin Cara and 10 times better than Rey Mysterio. He is my new luchador hero. El Locale is fucking awesome.
he needs that gimmick where he's like every time he comes out, he just happens to be from that town they're in at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, I would buy it just on the strength of that alone.
We should also mention that El Locale is half Canadian, half Mexican.
A Canexican.
I found
I don't
that very.
Care what he is, he's awesome.
I found that very amusing. He's half Canadian, and half Mexican. So no matter what
that,
border
that, that
he goes
means you
to,
paid attention to Santino and it was Josh Matthews or whoever it is on commentary.
Yes, I did.
Oh my god, I cannot take Santino on commentary. No. That's a sell.
You can't take Santino on commentary?
Oh god, no. He is worse than Michael Cole.
What, does he just start grating on you after a while? Maybe
he grated on me the second he opened his mouth.
Well, maybe he's supposed to be like that.
The firecrackers, the dollar. Shut up!
He's trying to be kid friendly.
I'd rather he just bastardize words.
I know it's supposed to be kid friendly, but even kids weren't like that.
My kid's 12 and he's like, Dad, who's that bugger?
Yeah, your kid is not the target audience for this show, Tim.
Well, I'm just saying.
If your kid was half the age he was, then yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying, you know, my kid's 12 and he's like, What the hell? So.
Yeah, but your kid doesn't even like trick-or-treating anymore, so he doesn't count.
He does. I took him trick-or-treating Wednesday night in the snowstorm.
You practically had to force him, though.
I actually, no, I didn't. He called me on Monday and said, Dad, will you take me trick-or-treating? And I'm like, of course, son. Meanwhile, inside my head, I'm going, yes, he still wants to go one last time. Yes. Because I was deathly ill last year and didn't get a chance to go out. We were supposed to go to Cochrane, which is like 30 minutes outside of Calgary, and go trick-or-treating there. Nice small little town. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows Owen because his aunt and uncle live there, and he hangs out in Cochrane a lot, and we were going to have a lot of fun out there.
Tim.
It was all just horrible, so we stayed
Alan.
In Calgary, and it sucked.
Alan, it is not story time.
And then so I talked to him about guys like Jesse
so
James.
So up next
and,
in Byers.
Tim.
And
Tim, you're on the radio, Tim.
Oh, his net was
it's
dying.
It's not time for the pudding yet.
Oh, here's what happened. His net was dying and he couldn't hear us.
Asshole, I was going someplace with a punchline. Fuck you.
You dropped on your own, by the way.
You hung up.
No. You dropped on your own.
I did not. You're
did
lying.
Too.
Yeah, you're lying.
We didn't need a 15-minute story, thanks, Alan.
Well, it was only 13, so.
Anyway, Rock, next question.
Buy or sell that DDP can actually help Jake Roberts train for a comeback. Omega.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I can't keep
it. All the respect in the world for Jake the Snake's legacy, but Gumby couldn't teach him how to get back in shape at this point.
Oh my god.
Dude.
RoboCop couldn't help him right now.
It's done. I'm sorry, Jake. It's over.
Just go to the drug house for senior citizens, Jake the Snake.
Gee, a couple of negative Nellies on this one.
Okay, you buy it.
So
I have, actually.
So Tim and Omega are selling it. So, Base, you're buying?
I'm buying. I'm sorry. If there's any man on this planet that has a slight chance, even if it is 0.00000000001% of getting Jake the Snake not only sober and off drugs and actually get him in the shape... It's DDP.
Does anyone want to remind Mace that Jake showed up drunk to his last appearance?
I understand this.
As opposed to what other appearance? I know.
Yeah, exactly.
How many people know exactly what happened at that last appearance?
Not many, and we don't want to hear the story, so shut up.
Oh, well, I can't wait to tell you, so here it goes.
Oh, fuck.
not much of a story.
I'm eating a drink.
There you go.
If you need to take a piss, this is the time to go do it.
I actually am not going to say a goddamn thing, fuckers.
Sure.
So anyway, getting back to it. To be honest, though, the work that DDP has shown through the people who are on his DDP yoga system, especially those that he helps personally, is amazing. Okay. Omega, you know Gabriel Iglesias.
Uh-huh.
Right. Dude's dropped in 3 months about 65 pounds. Right. And you know how big Gabriel is.
Is he getting down to husky?
Yeah. He's dropping down the six levels of fatness. You know, and that's something to sort of sit back and go, wow, okay. And if there's any person on this planet with personal intervention that could get Jake back on track, it's DDP. If it was anybody else, I'd be right there with you laughing it up and saying sell.
Well, DDP was... We also know that DDP also helped out former guest of the show, Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge, which you can listen to in the archives at wildtalkradio.com.
Cheap plug. I can tell you from personal experience, DDP yoga is very effective. I use it myself. I believe Lindsay has used it at a time as well. Dude's getting results, and I'm going to have faith in this one.
A lot of WWE superstars are using the DDP yoga. And Lindsay apparently still does the DDP yoga.
So, yeah, if there's anyone who has a chance of getting Jake on track, it's DDP.
It just makes me wonder what Trish's yoga did wrong.
I have no idea.
She wasn't as hands-on, maybe?
Oh, if Trish was hands-on during yoga, everyone would line up. That'd be the front.
Omega does have a point.
Yeah.
Plus, the other factor in all this is, like, okay, this is the only thing that sort of makes it iffy. It's Jake. Jake has a history. Everybody knows it. We make fun of it and everything else. But if Jake sees the transformation and he actually wants this, he's going to do it.
I remember reading that they moved, DDP moved him into one of his houses or something like that. I believe that's the story.
Yeah. DDP has moved him into one of his houses in Atlanta, I think.
Makes sense.
So it's more, so he's more hands-on, and there is the condition of, you know, Jake touches any drugs, he touches a drop of alcohol, he's out the door.
I did find it hilarious that among all those reports, there was also a rumor that his other trainer, while staying with DDP, was Glacier. And I thought, okay,
that is fucking funny. What's going to happen? Jake the Snake's going to come out of Scorpion? Actually, no. Jake the Snake. It's Reptile.
Well, it could be a Scorpion from the movie, and those little snake lizard chain things.
True.
See, I will argue Scorpion's chain and spear move, but not Wolverine's bone claws rock.
Okay. I'll note it down for next time.
You have 7 days to find better clips.
Hey, the intro is funny. I got one person to laugh.
Okay, it's really funny to whom? Yeah, no, the question is, funny to whom?
Lindsay found it funny.
And so did you.
So that's two.
And
there's three of us who didn't.
Still outnumbered.
Yeah.
You're still outnumbered even before we ask everybody listening if they liked it or not. So, yeah, you know, when you put it together, you got to put it together with the idea that you want to make them laugh, not you. Because when you do that, dude, you fail. If it amuses you.
Anyway, that's been buy or sell. Let's continue the fucking show.
Here we go. Okay.
Let's get to the boring part.
Get ready, everybody. Pick'em is coming up in just a quick sec, but I just want to put a little bit of a damper here. Very serious, somber note. Unfortunately, Brad Armstrong passed away earlier this past week. I want to send out my condolences to the Armstrong family. Of course, Brad Armstrong, one of the four sons of Bullet Bob Armstrong, brother to WWE referee Scott Armstrong, and producer Brian Road Dogg, that's right, BG James. My thoughts and prayers are with the Armstrong family at this point in time. Brad Armstrong was 51 years old.
And once again, thank you, Alan, for bringing the show down.
Yeah, well, it's just something you got to do. That being said, let's play TNA Turning Point Pick'em. Let's start with the ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship. We've got Austin Aries versus the Charismatic Enigma, Jeff Hardy. Of course, it's World Heavyweight title, and Jeff Hardy is currently holding it. Mace, what's your pick?
I'm going for Hardy, even though I really wish Aries would win it back. But I know he won't, because this is fucking TNA.
All right, there you go. So that's Austin Aries for Mace. Omega.
It's gonna be Jeff winning, unfortunately. But I think it's going to be due to Aries getting to the top of the ladder and spending a full minute weighing whether or not he actually wants to touch that god-awful title belt or not.
He'll wear gloves.
Yeah, he'll lose just because of the way this stupid thing looks.
Well, he'll get up there, he'll reach for it, he'll see a big screaming silver face on the belt, freak out and fall off the ladder.
Ah! I was having a drug hallucination and I don't even smoke pot.
Well, I must have climbed too fast. I see faces and belts now.
I was hanging out in Jeff Hardy's locker. Never mind. That was just like because he's clean and sober now. Okay,
yeah, so is RVD.
Yeah, you're choosing Hardy Rock.
Reluctantly, Jeff Hardy.
There you go. Once again, everybody in the chat room, go ahead and post your picks in the chat room. Kane Kittens will record it. If you're listening to the archives, send your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com. Again, the winner gets a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs. Now, when we say the winner, we mean listeners, because people on any of the WPR shows are not eligible. All we're going to do is play for bragging rights, but you guys get a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs. I have to tell you, it's going to be Jeff Hardy. They've been waiting for a year to do something with that stupid god-awful belt that they custom-made for him. If for no other reason, they're going to get some mileage out of it. My pick's Jeff Hardy. Next match, number one contenders match. We got Bobby Roode versus James Storm versus AJ Styles. Opposite end of the order, Rock. Go ahead and pick.
I should give the backstory of this. The number one contenders match is the loser of this match cannot get another title shot until next year's Bound for Glory. The person who takes the pinfall cannot get another title shot. That said, Bobby Roode wins.
Woo, Bobby Roode wins. All right, Omega.
Yeah, Bobby Roode.
Bobby Woo. Okay. Mace.
It'll be James Storm pinning Bobby Roode.
Ooh. Ooh. Going for the bonus point.
I like Mace's scenario. I'm saying James Storm wins. And I'm not going to go for bonus points, but I'm just going to say Storm wins.
Oh, you can make it the tiebreaker.
Pick
who gets pinned.
Oh.
Pick who gets pinned, and who do we see not getting a title shot till next Bound for Glory?
AJ Styles.
Okay, no, in that case, I'm going for Bobby Roode gets pinned, because he's had the title, he's had his run, and TNA doesn't keep the same people in the picture overly long, so they get stale and shit like that. At least TNA will switch it up a little bit, and so, yeah, okay, Bobby Roode gets pinned. Is this bonus points?
It'll be the tiebreaker.
There you go, that's the tiebreaker. Okay, everybody's answered, everybody's gotten their votes in. Next one, no DQ television championship match. Magnus versus the champion, Samoa Joe. Omega, let's go to you first.
Joe.
Oh, Joe's going to kill you. Mace.
Joe's going to fuck some shit up.
All right. Rock.
Magnus.
What?
There's a swerve coming. Magnus wins.
Okay, you see a swerve. I got to say, Joe. Next, we got Devon taking on Kurt Angle.
You realize you've missed the match, right?
We'll get there.
You missed the tag team title match.
No. I'm going to get to it. I'm leaving that until last on purpose. But Devon versus Kurt Angle, Mace.
No contest.
Really? Okay. So
this will have an aces and eights run in or something, and it'll be declared no contest.
Okay. Omega.
Yeah, Angle by DQ.
Okay, so you're picking Angle to win as opposed to a no contest. Rock.
Devon by outside interference leading to the pin.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Devon to win this one. Now, we have the Tag Team Championship match. Christopher Daniels with Kazarian. And aren't those two guys like Lindsay's wet dream or something like that for TNA right now at the moment? Taking on Chavo and Hernandez, the champions. Rock, pick a team.
I so want to pick Daniels and Kazarian. I so want to pick them, but I get this feeling.
You just pick them because you want an apple teeny.
And, Tim, don't be gross. That's the comment in response to you. I they're so much more entertaining than Chavo and Hernandez, but, God, I gotta go with Hernandez and Chavo because it's not going to put the belts back on the people who should be champions.
Okay, there you go. Mace.
I'm going for your rightful World Tag Team Champions of the World, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian.
All right. Omega.
Smartass in me wants to say Chavo unless Daniel's uncle dies before next weekend. But I am agreeing with Mace. They should be your tag team champions, and I gotta stop agreeing with Rock on these picks.
Yeah, you gotta agree with Mace to avoid agreeing with Rock. I'm not agreeing with Rock, but yeah, Team Mexico wins.
What they did on Thursday's Impact, if you didn't see it, you had Daniels and Kazarian call out, you know, someone's proud of his heritage. He called out Hector Guerrero. And whoever the other Spanish announcer is, it was great. Check it out on YouTube's. You all like it.
There you go. And I do believe that we're done with the Turning Point Pick'em with all of the matches that are listed.
Those are the matches announced. Probably tune into the Rack Thursday. We'll have all the matches and get your complete picks in.
Yeah, so get started now. Go ahead, email what's if you're not listening live and posting them in the chat room right now. Email your picks media at wildtalkradio.
Or they can tweet them. They can tweet them at wildtalkradio as well. We can get the picks that way too.
Yeah, you can tweet at Wild Talk Radio as well. And keep listening throughout the week. If more matches are added and you're paying any kind of attention, you'll know it. So Thursday night you can finalize and do your final picks. Last night of picking, last day to pick, Rock?
Is CB Radio Night, Saturday night, because we do the picks with Subway and Rob who don't watch TNA. And last month they both went 5-3, so even... Yeah, you know, two guys who don't watch can have a good shot. So you two can out there as well.
Yeah, so I don't care if you get... We don't care if you watch TNA. Just play Pick'em with us. It's a fun. And who knows? You might fluke out and win yourself a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs. Ooh, yeah. That being said, isn't it time for the great debate?
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR squared circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
So we're getting to the final round of the final matches in round number 2. I know everyone's excited about that because next week we'll start round 3. This week on the matchups, it's first up, Randy Savage versus Chris Jericho.
Thank you.
Chris, you're up first.
Randy Savage. I just don't know why. It just works. And to be honest, I've never really been a fan of the whole break the walls down fucking thing that Jericho has.
Right. Omega.
Jericho. I actually do like that song. I think it speaks very well of it, that it's lasted Jericho as long as it has. And I'm sorry, I mean, Savage's, the pomp and circumstance, it somehow does work, but, you know, I still feel like throwing a graduation hat in the air every time it comes out.
Okay, Tim, tiebreaker.
Well, you know, pomp and circumstances, you know, I always thought that should have been, what's his name? Randy's brother Lanny Poffo's ring entrance when he was the genius, because exactly, you know, he had the cape and the what do you call that type of hat anyway? What is the name of that hat?
Oh Jesus, called a graduation
hat. Board.
No,
it's called a Witchboard hat. What?
Someone out there, help us out really quickly.
Has anyone graduated? Help us.
A mortarboard.
A mortarboard, that's what it is, yeah. Don't get me wrong, I love Randy. I love when his music played and he came out with Miss Elizabeth, and he was always in a feud with Hulk Hogan, brother, and all that other stuff. And, you know, Randy Savage was one of my two favorite WWF wrestlers. Yeah, it's just the song, you know, would have been, like I said, more fitting for his brother when he was doing the genius gimmick. Disappointed in Rock, and I understand that you did it for time reasons, but I'm disappointed that we didn't hear the absolute beginning of Jericho's tune. But his debut was one of the most epic debuts ever, not just the night that it happened, but the whole thing that led up to it. Very simple. All it was a clock counting down, and all you heard was the beginning of that, and then it would move on to something else. And it, when I first saw it, yeah, what's going on? What are they counting down to? What the hell? What? Okay, I'm hooked. Come on. What is this? Okay, we got it figured out. We're counting down to something. Who's it going to be? And then, boom, Jericho comes out and gets into that epic promo with The Rock. And just from right there, it's, to me, Jericho's Break the Walls Down has always been rather electric.
So
there's your type.
Chris Jericho moves on. Up
is
next.
That surprise? Is that an upset?
No, it's actually a close matchup, so you know it's not really an upset. He was actually number 4 seed over 5 seed. Anyway, up next, Shawn Michaels takes on Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, come
on. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy.
You said, oh, come on. Tim, you're up first.
This has got to be, since we started doing entrance themes, this has got to be just about the hardest one I've had to decide on. And, you know, when you hear the breaking glass, you know you're in for somebody's ass getting whipped. And somebody's going to get a mud hole something that's going to get walked dry. But there's just something about Shawn Michaels' music. I mean, first off, he's the one singing the lyrics. And if ever a song fit a wrestler, it's Sexy Boy fitting Shawn Michaels, because it was the whole, you know, the complete total package. I mean, you, just listening to the entrance song, you know exactly what you were in for during the match. And, if Spuck is listening to the archive right now, he's going to wonder what dope I'm smoking or what booze I'm drinking, because I got to pick Shawn Michaels. And it's a really, really, really reluctant pick. It's the hardest one that I've had to make, but I'm going with HBK.
Mace.
Shawn Michaels. Austin's, yeah, it worked really well with his persona, but at the same time, it's just generic badass. You could have put that with any, you could put that with Samoa Joe today, and you get the same effect. Shawn Michaels was catchy. He had a hand in himself with the lyrics, and it worked with the whole flamboyant playfulness of the Shawn Michaels character. So, yeah, Michaels.
Omega.
This is how well Shawn Michaels' music worked with him. Even after he became born again and lived for nothing that has anything to do with that song, it still fucking fit him. And I give bonus points to anyone who's singing their own theme song, so that's a sweep.
Plus, you interviewed Shawn Michaels.
And I'm a little biased.
So there you go. Round two is over.
I tried singing my own theme song once. People on the bus told me, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I sang the theme song once. I've regretted it since.
Yeah, you know what? You should have played, seeing as you played the Stone Cold's original, you should have played the original Sexy Boy, a Sensational Sherry.
Either way, still would have won.
Still probably, yeah. Of course, still would have won.
Quick hits. Play the music. Let's get out of here.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for you. Quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
We're doing something a little bit different this week. You're all getting the same two questions.
What the fuck?
Yes. It's election season this Tuesday. So, the first question, we'll start with Tim. You're all answering the same question. The first question is, what are three things you would change if you were named the ruler of the world?
Oh, shit. Okay, I'd outlaw political correctness because it's just gone way too far overboard and it's bullshit. I would outlaw racism because that's just bullshit. And if there's two things I can't stand, it's prejudice and packies.
So that's your three things?
No, that was two things.
Okay, so what's your third thing then?
See, this is the one I don't know. I would make, seeing if I was the ruler of the world, I would make Canada the capital country of the planet.
Mace, if you were the ruler of the world, what are three things you would change?
I would outlaw lobby groups. First thing.
Yes!
Second thing, as much as I hate to agree with Tim, I wouldn't abolish political correctness. I would scale it back. Bring it back into the 80s and 90s era, where you could still have a laugh. Where people were just on the border, but you could make crude jokes and still be tasteful about it without getting in the trouble. And the third thing would be every Friday would be Pants Off Friday.
Pants Off Friday. That's like Joey's Naked Thursdays from Friends, right?
Yeah, except not as scary.
Well, his Naked Thursday only applied to his female roommate, so,
Omega. You're up. Oh, but oh, hold on before you go. Lindsay asked to you Mace, so she would have to wear a skirt on Fridays.
No, you wouldn't even be allowed to wear skirts.
Alright. Now, Omega, you're up.
Number one, you know, I was gonna say eliminate the FCC, but you know what? Since I'll also play this right into the soccer, I'll play this right into the political correctness thing and make it all one category and go, no more censorship. People in my world will have to just deal with shit. God, so many options.
Just pick three.
Number two, I get control of what shows kids actually get to watch. They can actually grow up on some decent cartoons for a change. And see, number three. Number three, I'm gonna have North Korea sunk into the sea.
Okay. Now, this is where we're gonna let Tim go first.
Again?
Yes, you have 60 seconds. We're actually gonna give you 60 seconds, and I will buzz you if you go over. We do have a buzzer.
Old school.
I'm hating this already. I don't know what the question. I'm hating it right now.
You have 60 seconds to tell the people out there listening why they should choose you to be their ruler of the world. Go.
I'm not a politician. I am not into giving speeches about why you should choose me. The guy who, when you choose me to be the ruler of the world, would make sure that every single last one of you are multimillionaires and you're not wanting for anything, and all the guys can get laid all they want because they're, let's face it, guys are horny, and the girls could have whatever they want, and because they got to put out, and then they get double and all that other shit. But, you know, like, yeah, we'll get rid of all the bad stuff that you don't like, and we'll keep all the good stuff that you do like. I'm done.
Mace, your turn.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you should vote for me. Free cookies and blowjobs.
Hey, that's not... No. You're a cheater, because that was sort of like included in the blanket thing that I said. I offered...
Not your turn, Tim. You had your turn. Mace, you still have 30 more seconds if you want to continue.
Under my regime, there will be less political correctness. We will go back to the good old days of the Attitude Era, where people will blow each other up with dynamite and then brush it off as a flesh wound. We will have comedies that will not star Adam Sandler. We will actually have a world in which you're allowed to laugh once again. And there will be no terrorists, because I'll blow them up with a nuclear bomb. Free cookies and blowjobs!
Okay. Omega, can you top that?
Well, ladies and gentlemen out there, the fact is, I already am the ruler of the world, and the sooner you accept that, the sooner we can all move along with our lives.
Fuck it, I'm not voting for you.
But as a ruler of your world, I will promise you this. I will be fair to all, except the people I don't like. I will make sure that everyone has lower taxes. I'll make sure that everyone has a high quality of life. And I will make sure that I'll be instituting this little tax break I have called tax breaks for blowjobs. This also keeps the population under control.
You guys are all copycats.
And what taxes you do pay will go to worthwhile purchases, worthwhile means. such as seeing how long Justin Bieber can survive exposure to the corona of a sun.
Kill Justin Bieber. Kill Justin Bieber now!
Honestly, I don't think you can argue with that platform like that.
So you, the fans out there, can, you know, decide. Who would you want to be with? Mace, Omega, or Tim? We have one vote for Mace because he has cookies.
Yay!
So, there you go. That's quick.
Cookies win elections.
Pretty much.
Mind you, like any good politician, I'll promise cookies and I won't deliver.
These are obviously crackers, Mace.
Okay, that's it. We're out of here.
Hold on.
Everybody,
Hold on. What? Omega, because we have Tommy in our chat room, goes, Omega, because he would be an interesting leader. He always rants. And since you're
always?
Apparently. And you've already lost your supporter base because you're not giving away cookies, so you lost your blowjob.
Okay, I'll give you the cookies. I'll make them for you by hand. If you like peanut butter, I'll make peanut butter chocolate chunk cookies.
He's making them, though, so you'll never actually get them.
I didn't say I was mailing them. I said make them.
Or they'll be burnt.
Okay, and so everyone in the world has to walk to your house to get the cookies.
No, I do not burn cookies. I am such a damn good cook in the kitchen. It's awesome. And I make the world's best peanut butter chocolate chip cookies on the planet. And because I'd be the ruler of the world, I'd make sure they get to you. By somebody delivering them to your door personally. Because I'm the ruler of the world and I could make that happen.
We're already being told in the chat room that Omega and I should run together as a political party. maybe we should go up against BS 2012.
Ooh, that would be
They're really, really thick cookies. They're soft cookies. And the cookies are unbelievably good when dipped in milk.
Lindsay says she can make her own cookies, just saying. In fact, she's walking to the snack machine now to get cookies.
Yeah, actually, Mace, I like this idea, Mace. Okay, this election season, forget the Democratic Party, forget the Republican Party. Vote Mace and Omega, the members of the Land Party.
Hell yeah! Free Wi-Fi for all.
I wrap it up?
King Ken thought Tim and Omega were Team Canada, that party.
Oh, God, here we go.
Do I get to be Eric Young?
Yes.
Only if you can grow the epic beard.
You need the epic beard to be Eric. Why? Sorry.
Well, it is No Shave November on CB Radio, so you should grow out your beard.
Some of us actually have to appear in public.
Oh, apparently you could be Petey because you have the hair.
Right. Anyway,
Tim,
we got plugs.
Plug our shit, Tim.
Yeah, alright everybody, thanks for tuning in to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night right here, Wild Talk Radio. Don't forget, next week we're on an hour later at 11 o'clock Eastern because of TNA Turning Point, where we will announce the winner of WTR Pick'em. And I hope that you all have a great time, and best of luck to every single one of you. If we were able to give you all a copy, we would. We can't, so we're not gonna. Sorry. And yeah, you're guaranteed to get it because I'm not sending it out. Anyway, tomorrow night, right after Raw, we've got the Raw post show with Sorokin, and Lindsay shows up, and Mace puts in his 2 cents and stuff like that.
11:30. Football. Yay. Oh, right. Raw.
Football.
Yes, join us. Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Tuesday night, the guy that we've been picking on for, at least half the night, Alan Wojcik, hosts Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. But Alan interviews people, name drops, says something about movies, and then he goes to bed.
He'll have the new NWA World Champion on the program. Haggis, I think his name is. He won it this past Saturday, or Friday, something along those lines. And he will have former NWA valet Baby Doll on the program as well.
Woohoo!
All right, yeah, hey, Wednesday night, 8:30 Eastern, I do believe, we've got just another goddamn wrestling show with the Cheap Wood panel. Hey, Scott Berry's on that show.
He is.
Yeah. Also, Wednesday night, Rock, you and I need to talk about this because there has been a few developments in the ongoing labor dispute between the NHL and the NHLPA. It might be time for another edition of the hockey show.
So, like 11:30-ish, the hockey show returns?
Yeah, I think so. It could be as early as 11 o'clock Eastern, which is 9 o'clock Mountain Time. Tune in by that time anyway. If we're not there right on time, we'll start shortly afterwards. How's that sound?
Sure, that works for me. Yay! Hockey show returns, even though there's no hockey.
Thursday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ford, the chick with the tits, and the one who keeps it trimmed but natural.
Join us as we will finish up Impact Wrestling, recap it all for you, talk all the latest news, and finish up the TNA picks for Turning Point. So check it out. It's The Rack, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, Johnny Cashmere's wake-up call. There was no show last week, and you can thank Hurricane Sandy for that. But scheduled to be on, card subject to change, scheduled to be on, Phil Coffins from the TV series Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, guaranteed to be another really out-there show that's going to make your head scratch, Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Saturday Night Midnight ish, or as close as they can get to it, before I tell you that CB Radio, with your host, the guy that thinks he's something, Sir Rock, and Ken Kittens, there's more than the cancellation of the Winter Classic. They've been meeting all weekend. We'll have updates on that. I just had to answer them in the chat room there. So what's happening CB Radio this week, Duke?
Fuck if I know. It's CB Radio. Comes together when it comes together. Nova Shave November. Okay. Yay! Check it out. CB Radio, weird, wacky, unusual. Saturday night, midnight-ish.
You know, I realized something. I said a bullshit word and it sounded like I was calling you Jew. Cool. Anyway, once again, reminder everybody, WrestleTalk Radio, 1 hour later, 11 o'clock Eastern, Sunday night, right after the pay-per-view, where we review Turning Point. Once again, thanks for tuning in! Don't forget, play pick all week this week. And you could win a copy of Bloodstained Memoirs.
Right.
And, of course, we were sponsored tonight, as we are every day, by Tweaked Audio. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. It's some of the best earbuds on the planet. My pair came. I'm loving them. They're awesome. Get a pair, goddammit.
Don't go anywhere, Chris. Come up next. Mace plays through WWE 13 live.
Yay, we're actually going to see some good wrestling, kids. All right, that's it. We're done. Get out of here.
Good night, everybody.
Who's typing? Cut it out.
Did you have your finger on?
Someone was going through a wind tunnel.